So, how healthy do you think you are? It's that time of the year when we all start thinking about losing weight, pepping up our diets, getting fit and healthy for 2010 or 2010 or whatever you want to call it. But there is so much conflicting advice out there, and so many people all trying to sort of basically say, do this, do that, don't eat fats and carbohydrates together, do eat them together, but eat them on alternative Tuesdays. And you just get really, really confused if you're like me, or maybe it's just me that's easily confused. Zoe Harkham has got a book out which is called Stop Counting Calories and Start Losing Weight. Zoe joins us on the line now. Zoe, I like the idea of that.
Thank you very much for having me on the show this morning. I think most people like the idea of it, actually, because there are millions of people, women particularly, up and down the country trying to stick to around 1,000 to 1,200 calories a day. And quite frankly, they are starving. And hunger is one of those things that humans just will not tolerate. It's up there with war in terms of the things that are just unbearable to a human being. And we're making people hungry on a daily basis. And not only is it not a nice thing to do, it's actually not working. Obesity has gone up sixfold since we've been shouting this eat less, do more advice louder and louder over the last 30 years. And it's got to stop.
But surely it does work, doesn't it? It's a simple matter of mathematics that, you know, if you put less in and you take more out, you kind of end up losing weight.
No, we have got the absolute... I'm so glad you went on to that one. We've got the absolute fundamentals of applying the laws of the universe to the body wrong. There is no law that says energy in equals energy out. There is a law about conservation of energy. And the way we have got it wrong is so serious. It's something I'm researching very actively at the moment, and it will come down to be the single biggest thing that we've ever done to upset the health of our nation.
So what are you saying the alternative is then? How does it work?
We've got to eat better. If you tell people to eat less, first of all, they get hungry, which is what sabotages most diets, but people then eat the wrong things. People eat more carbohydrate when they try to eat fewer calories, because carbohydrates have got fewer calories than fat. And in case you haven't worked that out for yourself, people will tell you, base your meals on starchy foods, eat more carbohydrates. So all the messages are there telling us to eat more carbohydrate. But we know, it should be widely known, but just not many people say it, the body can only store fat, it can only lay down fat when you eat carbohydrates. So carbs, not calories, really are the secret to weight loss. Doesn't mean you can't have them. I actively encourage people to have fruit, whole grains, unlimited vegetables, baked potatoes. But you've got to eat them in a quite clever way to make sure that your body doesn't lay down fat at the same time.
Well, you see, I thought clever. I grew up in an era when clever was the F-plan diet, and we were encouraged to eat lots of carbohydrates, lots of roughage, as my grandmother used to put it. But yeah. Is that not good then?
Well, it's great. We've gone straight back into thermodynamics again, actually.
I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean to.
No, it's lovely. I mean, it really is, you know, the fundamental principles of dieting. What the F-plan diet was trying to do, and we must be similar ages because I remember it very well as well, it's trying to get energy out of the body before it can be used. And a lot of foods actually aren't digested until they get right down into the colon. It's quite interesting because a lot of the diet pills that are out there at the moment, you know, people will be seeing some over the counter now in the chemists. What they're trying to do is when the fat gets into the colon in the body, it's trying to get it out of the colon into the toilet as fast as possible so that you can't actually have those calories available for energy. It's an interesting theory. If you want to spend the next few days on the toilet or fairly close to one, you know, that might be a diet you want to try. But there are much better ways of losing weight.
In your book, you say you shouldn't mix fats with carbohydrates. Why is that?
Ideally not, no, because I mean, it's all about how the body uses food for energy. If you eat a bacon sandwich, the body will get the energy that it needs from the easiest form possible, and that's the bread. It's the carbohydrate. Carbs are always the easiest source of energy for the body. So it takes the energy from the bread, and it says, actually, I'd like to store the bacon for later on, but I need something called insulin to enable me to do that. Oh, great, I've got insulin because you've just eaten bread, which was a carbohydrate, and so I've produced insulin. That's marvellous. Thanks very much. I have the bread for energy, and I'll store the bacon for later on. You don't want it to store the bacon for later on. So I would say to people, have a bacon and egg breakfast or have a porridge or wholemeal toast breakfast, but don't mix the two. Don't allow your body to do the thing that you don't want it to do.
Right, okay. And I have to ask you as well, I like a Diet Coke or two or maybe six. that's a baddie, isn't it? I mean, Coke, no calories. What's the problem?
Because it's not calories that make you fat. It's about how the body can lay down energy. It's about how the body can either store fat or use up fat. And unfortunately, it really is not as simple as energy in equals energy out.
Okay, so it's basically because it's the insulin levels.
Well, yes, yeah. I mean, in the Diet Coke, if you have the full-leaded one, as I call it, so you've got the caffeine and the sweetener, that will impact in two ways on insulin. If you go for the caffeine-free, you've still got the sweetener. And there are so many obesity journals out there saying that the body can't detect the difference between sugar and sweetener, and it therefore just releases insulin. You don't want it to be releasing insulin. It's called the fattening hormone for good reason. You want to really manage the number of times a day your body releases that hormone.
Zoe, I'm going to bring Glenn Matten in here. Glenn's in the studio with us, and he's the author of a book. He runs a consultancy, a nutritional consultancy here in Norwich, and he's got a book out as well, The 100 Foods You Should Be Eating. Glenn, is that sort of, because we're always, there's lots of different ways, many different ways to skin a cat, as they say. I don't know why they say that, but they do. It doesn't sound like a very good thing to do in my book. But mixing fats and carbs, is that something?
Well, I mean, I think probably my best interjection in this debate is that actually I think there's a much wider issue going on, which is not just about kind of individuals and individual responsibility for what we do, but actually there's kind of something wrong with society as a whole. And we have this concept of what's known as an obesogenic environment, which is the fact that our whole environment is kind of not particularly conducive to us staying a healthy weight and kind of being active and kind of eating the sort of foods that perhaps nature intended us to eat throughout evolution. And so there's this massive mismatch between kind of how we live our modern lives and the foods we consume and actually what we were kind of designed to do. So I think diet is part of that. I think exercise is part of that. I kind of agree. I think it's, you know, it's about looking at the quality of our food in the diet. I think I think we could debate the extent to which sort of energy or sort of caloric intake versus caloric usage is a useful concept or not. I think, you know, there's a bit of a debate that we could have regarding that. But I agree, you know, we've got to look at the quality of things like the carbohydrates in our diet, the types of fats we consume in our diet. We tend to consume the wrong types of fats, the sort of role of protein and how that can be quite sort of satiety inducing. But I think there, you know, we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that we can't kind of pin this whole problem onto food. I think there's a really kind of much broader, wider societal problem that's going on, really. And actually, when it comes to the food, but I think we've got to keep that as simple as possible, because people are doing pretty disastrous things with their diet. And I think actually the first thing we need to do is just get a few basic things in place.
Is that something that sort of inspired you to write the book, Zoe? Is that
I agree with a lot of that, actually. I mean, the environment, we don't make it easy for people to eat healthily. You know, I think you can buy 12 donuts for a pound or one cucumber for a pound. If you're struggling on a budget, you know, what are you going to do when you go into a supermarket? We need to do a lot more to help people to have good food, food in the form that nature intends us to eat it, readily available. I go a little bit further and say, actually, we've created this obesogenic environment, and certainly the government is perpetuating it, because the government's top piece of advice is base your meals on starchy foods. And my top piece of advice would be, if you're trying to lose weight, you know, don't go near a starchy food like the plague. We fatten cattle by giving them starchy foods. How is it going to slim a human?
I think probably the really important point to reinforce, and I don't know if Zoe would agree with me, it's really, rather than kind of demonising single food groups, it's about looking at kind of the quality of those food groups. So I think, you know, just I think it was a point you made yourself earlier, that actually some carbohydrates are actually, you know, should be the sort of fundamental parts of a diet. If we looked at, for example, the glycemic index of those carbohydrates and favoured more sort of unprocessed, unrefined carbohydrates, you know, I think that's, yeah, I don't know if Zoe would agree, that's probably an important part of most people's diets. And it's really looking at kind of what we've done through sort of the mass production of food and the refining of carbohydrates and you know, high consumption of sugar and refined foods, that's actually probably more problematic in that whole situation.
I would actually demonise certain foods.
Go on then, what the baddies?
I would demonise sugar.
Uh-huh.
And it may interest you to know that we eat 400 calories of sugar per person per day. That's 1.6 pounds of sugar per person in the UK per week.
Whoa.
400 empty calories a day. No vitamins, no minerals, no protein, no water, no nutrients. We eat 1.4 kilos of flour per person per week. So about 1,100 to 1,200 calories per person per day are coming in the form of white flour and white sugar. One has no nutrients, the other has very few nutrients. Both of those foods have got to, well, one should go out of our diet, and that's sugar, and the other has got to become a massively smaller part of our diet, and make room for meat, fish, eggs, dairy products, vegetable salads, fruits, whole grains, and far less of this white flour and sugar obsession that we have.
But I think, yeah, I totally agree. But I think we should really make that distinction clear about the quality of carbohydrates, because some of those foods you mentioned as being good ones are actually carbohydrate foods as well. So I think the danger is, yeah, a lot of people will think that all carbohydrates are bad, and it's actually really important to focus on the quality of those carbohydrates.
So vegetables and whole grains good, as you said, Zoe, yes, but the sugar and white flour and et cetera bad. Yes. Zoe, your book's out, isn't it? Available from all good publishers, or all good bookshops.
All good bookshops.
Indeed.
Yes.
Stop counting calories and start losing weight. Did you lose much weight yourself then?
I did, actually. I mean, I've been all over the place, which I think is, you know, what helps me empathise with people in this debate. I was anorexic as a teenager, bulimic in my late teens and early 20s. So, you know, at my lowest I was 6 stone, and at my highest I was 10 stone. And I'm nicely 8 stone now and have been for about 15 years. So I've sorted it out, definitely, and know how to never put the weight back on.
Well, I'm very, very pleased for you. Ever so slightly jealous as well. But Zoe Harkham, thanks for joining us
on
the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Thank you, and to you.
Thank you.